Nice to be here.
This is an interesting book, but because it's about a thing, of course. It's about water, but really it's the concept of scarcity.
In the course of doing this book, I learned a lot of things I knew nothing about. One was that the amount of water on our planet right now is exactly the same as it was, fresh water for us to drink, same amount of water that was here when the dinosaurs inhabited the Earth. So now we have 6.5 billion people all trying to drink the same finite amount of water. It's about 3% of the water on the Earth is drinkable for human beings.
This could well be the title page of this book. It's two kids walking on what looks to be a huge water pipeline someplace in India. Tell us about this photograph.
Well, the photograph's taken in Mumbai, which is one of the largest cities in India. It used to be called Bombay. It turns out that they have these enormous, massive water pipes that feed water to the more affluent members of Indian society. But what you're seeing here is people that live on the margins, on the fringes of that population. And it looks like they're literally living in a garbage dump. And in fact, the way that they get around to not be walking in the garbage is they walk over these pipes.
The pipes actually don't even carry that much water efficiently. I mean, there are leaks and horrible infrastructure problems as well in huge parts of the world.
70% of the water flowing through pipes all over the world on an average is leaking out of these pipes. And in fact, in some cases, people are making the leaks because it's the only way that people in these slums, in these very impoverished areas, have any access to water.
Because water is really a commodity. I mean, it's a thing you have to buy and sell sometimes.
We don't understand that here because, you know, we all grew up just turning on the tap and taking long showers. And now when I wash my dishes and I just rinsed the food off my 5 and 7-year-old children's plates. That water is something people would literally be fighting over in parts of the world.
Is this the worst of it, these kids walking on this pipeline in the midst of all this refuse in Mumbai?
Well, you know, the funny thing, Kai, is that the it is different in different places. In some places, we're sucking water out of the ground now around the world at 4 times the rate it's going back into the ground. So these aquifers, which are like underground rivers that where most of the clean water is around the world, or fresh water, we're actually pulling the water out so fast that the water table is dropping, which makes the ground above it porous. So in some places like Kansas City and Mexico City, the ground is starting to crumble because the water is disappearing. In other places like China, it's man-made chemical pollutants. In Bangladesh, it's yet another problem. 20 years ago, the UN told people in Bangladesh not to drink any surface water in streams or rivers because it was so polluted, only to drink well water. But they didn't test the wells. And it turns out that a huge percentage of the wells in Bangladesh had arsenic in them. If you drill down deep enough, you always hit arsenic. I'm telling you things I've learned in the course of doing the book. I'm not an expert. At the moment you hit arsenic, it poisons all the water above it. It all permeates up. So now all over Bangladesh, people are being born with these terrible, disfiguring diseases. Now, this sounds like a horrible story, and it is. The thing that was challenging to us and actually hopeful as you go through the book is that there's this amazing group of entrepreneurs, companies, individuals, we call them water heroes, that we discovered in the course of doing the book, that are actually making a difference, that are actually finding inventions and finding a way to turn this around. Unlike global warming, which is a little like what could you possibly do at this point, I think the global water crisis is something that we could address if we started paying attention to it soon enough.
Let me get you to the next picture. Flip over there in the copy of it that you had. And I think what we have here is a representation of people getting water off Kenya, right off Nairobi.
That's right. What you're looking at is a picture. It looks almost like someone's taken a stick and poked it into the ground, except then you realize you're actually looking down at human beings around these holes. And they all have water buckets, and they're desperately digging for water. And this is a scene that's going on now all over Africa and in many places in the developing world in particular. The statistic that we learned is that human beings in Africa are spending 40 billion hours finding and carting water back to their families.
Water is obviously not the only thing that is dug for when people go poking around down in the ground. And this next picture, I think, is a really good example of what happens, unintended consequences, I suppose. It's a man and his son standing in front of what looks to be a bathroom sink. Tell us where this picture came from and why this water looks like a horrible brew of pollutants and tomato soup somehow.
Apparently, in this place in West Virginia, that foul water mixed with coal has been running from this fellow's faucet for almost a decade. And the local municipality now has finally stepped in to provide clean drinking water. But there's a fight going on with the coal mining industry because while they're pulling coal out of the ground, they're using water to actually That's part of their process. It's basically polluting the local drinking system.
This last picture caught my eye because it seems so incongruous. It is, it's in Austria, I think, right? And these guys are up on a glacier rolling what looks to be some kind of thermal blanket over these glaciers up in the Alps.
Yeah, this kind of reminds me of sticking your finger in the dike. Yeah, I mean, the level, there's a whole chapter in the back of the book, which is called A Billion Slingshots. And it's all these fascinating, some seem to be absurd, some to be absolutely amazingly clever ways that human beings, it's almost like the world's antibody system is starting to kick in. As people are starting to become aware of the extent of the water crisis, you're finding people, inventors like Dean Kamen, who invented the Segway scooter, who's got a little gadget the size of a refrigerator that you can put one side into a cesspool and out the other side comes clean, fresh drinking water. I've seen him demonstrate this very dramatically. You mentioned in the Alps where they're desperately trying to wrap glaciers to keep them from melting because they get all their drinking water from it. One of the pictures that I am the most fond of in the book is something in the back called fog catchers. A group of Canadian scientists came up with this idea of putting up these huge – they look like huge sheets of mesh. In places like Nepal where they have a very thick ground fog but no groundwater, it actually extracts the water from the fog and it sort of coagulates and then goes into these cisterns.
So let me ask you this then. Why can't Dean Kamen, obviously a proven innovator and inventor, why can't he get some rich venture capital company to seed him $40 million and get a whole bunch of these gizmos and take them where this water is so desperately needed? Is the market failing us?
Well, Dean, in fact, told me he needs $30 million. So that's actually a 25% discount. He said that when he's been approaching large organizations, people are looking at huge water desalinization plants. Now, there's a great example. Wouldn't you – when I first heard about this, I thought, well, come on. Eventually, they'll just find a clever way to take seawater and turn it into fresh water.
And then, boom, all
our
problems are
solved. What's the big problem? Turns out if you desalinate more than 10% of the world's oceans, which is a lot of water, that the substances, the chemicals, the salt that you take out goes back into the water. And so it ends up raising the salinity, so basically you end up killing the rest of the ocean by extracting 10% of it. So it's actually not there for us to extract the way you would think it would.
You have said you're hopeful after completing this book. And I have to tell you, after I finished going through it, it was fairly depressing.
Well, the thing that makes me hopeful is that the last chapter of the book, The Billion Slingshots chapter, shows a remarkable amount of innovation being applied to it.
You know Rick Smolin best by his Day in the Life books. His latest work is called Blue Planet Run, about water on this planet. Rick, thanks a lot for coming by.
Thanks, Kai.